This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. For patients in rural areas, it can be onerous and sometimes difficult to make it to frequent medical appointments to see specialists at bigger regional hospitals. It can also be difficult for doctors and facilities to manage capacity and ensure that people are seen in good time. So the UVM Medical Center is trying to figure out a new program that incorporates telemedicine and specialty consultations to help primary care practitioners in rural areas treat pain. Here to explain how it works is Dr. Mark Passanen. He's Associate Professor of Medicine at UVM's Lerner College of Medicine and Program Director of the Internal Medicine Residency Program. Dr. Passanen, it's nice to talk with you today.
Great to be here.
So this project, which you've adopted from a model that was started at the University of New Mexico, connects specialists with primary care providers. So it's not the typical telemedicine scenario that people may have in their heads where a patient sees a doctor in a remote location via, you know, an internet hookup. This is for specialists to connect with other physicians, other clinicians, and have a consultation. Explain how that works.
Yeah, it starts with telemedicine is really not a capacity builder because you're just saving transport time. And the idea was we don't have enough specialists around so many things, and pain has become such a big thing now. We certainly don't have the specialty capacity. So we became interested in how you get good pain treatment into communities. Both for patients to not have to travel, for them to get care with the folks who they know. And we were very interested in how to do that. And this program has been very effective in taking care of a number of chronic illnesses, including chronic pain. So we became interested in adapting that here.
So is there enough of a shortage in pain specialists that you see this as a problem for people around Vermont who have chronic pain but can't get to see those specialists?
I think there's two things. So A, yes, there's certainly not enough pain specialists and they're not spread around the state in a way that makes it efficient to get folks. Plus, there's not one type of pain specialist. And I think that's one of the big challenges. You might have someone who does interventional pain. You might have behavioral treatments. You might have other alternative treatments. You might have other addiction and mental health issues complicating your treatment. So the challenge of referring folks is that it's sometimes actually hard to know where to start, in all honesty. And what we've tried to create is we're going to have a community of people talking about how to manage pain. And it's a little different than some of the chronic disease models where there's clearly a right way to do it. I think we're learning together what people are doing, what resources they're finding. And it's actually really a dialogue between our primary care clinicians, our students, et cetera, out there in the community about what they're seeing. And it helps us build our programs locally as well.
Explain what it actually entails. So if I'm a primary care clinician and I have a patient who's experiencing chronic pain and I don't feel like we're adequately treating it in my practice, what do I do? How do I sort of get into this program?
Yeah, so this is a pilot that we started just in April. And the idea – and we floated it out there to see if people were interested in this type of model. And we had overwhelming response. So we know – what we know is that providers out there are struggling taking care of patients. You don't have to go very far to have heard something about opiates being an issue. And I think what's true now is we've gotten much better and much more thoughtful about initiating opiates as a treatment in patients with chronic pain. But we have this huge population that have been treated this way for decade or more. And that's where clinicians were telling us they were really struggling. They hear the message that we've got to be more careful about opiates, but they simply didn't know what to do about that. And you couldn't just refer someone to help you figure that out. You really need to learn that in your own practice. It's very dependent on what your practice style has been, what kind of supports you have. So we basically, the way this works is someone, we have about 30 some odd practices around the state from all over the state that join us. And our goal is really to talk and learn from each other around case-based education where we get better at it. I actually have learned a lot in the first three sessions. And so I think we learn a lot from our experts. People are more expert than me. I'm more of a facilitator than an expert, I'd say. And so we're all learning together. And so far, the feedback's been great. It doesn't solve all the issues of referral. But if we could get people to be a bit more efficacious in their own practice, then maybe the need for referral or the appropriateness of referral or knowing where the right next step is, maybe it's a little more clear.
So the idea is then the primary care clinician can actually take the next steps in that setting rather than have to refer somebody to a specialist somewhere else and have that patient then maybe wait for a while.
Absolutely. And the idea is that we're trying in some way the limitation of telemedicine, it isn't build any capacity in the system for the problem. So if the problem becomes very large and there aren't specialists, telemedicine, like I say, that's great for patients and it's a great way to deliver care to avoid travel, but you're still one-on-one with a provider. And so what we actually have is we're online with an interactive video conferencing, case-based, where we're really trying to amplify the amount of good care out there, share our best practices, and then learn from each other to do that. So that's really the idea, that practices will just get better at this. They'll feel more comfortable with it, especially around opiates, where people are just, you know, it's a struggle. And I think everyone's telling them no one, they need to get their patients off of opiates, but they don't know what else there is to do.
Are there HIPAA concerns or privacy concerns? You said this is case-based. So, you know, I could imagine being a patient thinking, oh, you're all going to be talking about me?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we're very conscious of that. So any end of our sessions, which are an hour and a half every other week, we start with a more of a classic didactic piece where we have some core material we want to make sure everyone has. We record that. And then we turn our recording off. And when we do the case-based, I actually personally, we call it scrub the specific information out. So the cases are very generic. We also talk about this, that this is a private community of people talking. You have to be invited into our community. You have to have registered. So we know who's online with us. So we're very conscious of that. We're really trying to capture broader concepts than the very specifics of an exact dose of a medicine, et cetera. But we do get in a little bit of the details and we try to be very careful. We have a big flag that's, you know, up on the slide while we're talking about cases to make sure. Part of my training was to go to New Mexico and learn how to make sure if people were starting to deviate from that, we were quick to shut them down.
So you just say, stop, stop, stop.
We actually mute them, of course,
Oh, really?
Is what we do, because we have the power from central command to mute somebody.
What's the benefit to you and the benefit to a place like UVM Medical Center, which is, of course, a specialty treatment center? I mean, isn't this taking business and money away from you? Even if there's a wait time, you know, if you're taking patients out of your practice, does that have, you know, a bottom line effect?
Yeah, it's an interest around some of the other, I think, specific things. Chronic pain is just everywhere and we'll never have the capacity. And like I said, it's so complicated to navigate that. We have a little bit of less of that issue, I think, in our chronic pain. We do plan to use this model to do other things, and it can do that. I mean, you do have to be conscious of that. So, you know, I talk to my boss and make sure they're aware of what we're doing and how we might do that. This all started with the treatment of hepatitis C back in the early 2000s.
In New Mexico.
New Mexico. And really what he was able to show is he actually saw the same number of patients. The wait time just went from 8 months to more like a week or two. And the results were that they were taking care of people in their communities. New Mexico, even much more rural than us, people traveling 4 or 5 hours each direction. And so when they were able to show that, you know, a nurse practitioner in a small town in New Mexico could get the same results and same outcomes as the academic medical center, that was a bit of a wake-up call for us, I'm sure, but super exciting as well. I mean, our job is to make our population healthier, and whatever we can do to do that, we should be supporting. So,
you mentioned that this just got started, but there was overwhelming interest from clinicians around the state in participating. So do you see this expanding to things other than chronic pain and to include more people around the state?
Yeah, I think we're very excited how it's gone so far. There's a pretty steep learning curve to the technology. And honestly, some of the things you do here in the studio, we're learning all that about sound and making sure everyone can see and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, we hope to – I mean, our plans are to move into a variety of other things depending on interest of the faculty. And that'll include some geriatrics issues. There's quite a bit of interest at the skilled nursing facility and in nursing homes, coordinating care and education at places that have a hard time coming together. And so anywhere that there's a problem that's common, tricky, people are spread out, it does well for.
That's Mark Passanen, Associate Professor of Medicine at UVM's Larner College of Medicine and Program Director of the Internal Medicine Residency Program. Thank you for talking with us a little bit about this pilot program called ECHO that you've been working on.
Great. My pleasure.